Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Always good. We've done 2 weeks now on Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius and Peter.
Yeah. It takes us a lot longer to get through Acts chapter 10 now.
Half hour show. This is the third show.
We're going to get on it.
Yeah, we better get on it because it's time for the music yet.
No, it's not that fast.
So last time we actually got Peter to Cornelius's house.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of time to summarize, so we're going to take it from there because there's some powerful stuff in here.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
So why don't you read the next passage here?
Let's go from Acts 10, starting at 23, and we'll
go
through there.
Yeah, 23. That's good.
So he invited them in and showed them hospitality. The next day he got up and went with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went with him. On the following day he entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together some of his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up, I myself am also a human being." While he conversed with him, he went in and found many people gathered together, and said to them, "You know that it is unlawful for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call any person profane or unclean, and that is why I came without objection when sent for. May I ask then why you summoned me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago at this hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was at prayer in my house, when suddenly a man in dazzling robes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your almsgiving remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you were kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" Mm. Wow.
That's awesome. So, you know, Peter's nice enough to say, "So why'd you send for me?" You know, it's interesting. He says, "You know, I shouldn't really be here. It's unlawful for me to be here. But, you know, the Lord showed me that I was supposed to come."
Yeah.
"The Lord showed me that I was supposed to come here when you sent for me. So I came without objection." Mm-hmm. I even let Gentiles stay in the house the other night. I mean, that was pretty wild. And I defiled myself and Simon the Tanner. No, yeah. He doesn't say that.
He doesn't say it either.
But Simon burned his house down after. No.
none of that.
So he says, "You know, I came without objection because the Lord showed me I was supposed to come here. So why did you send for me?" And Cornelius recounts this whole thing with the angel, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, suddenly a man in dazzling robes stood before him.
Yeah.
And he recounts what the angel said to him. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah. And he has his family, his friends. He knows this is something really important. He knows that whatever Simon Peter is going to tell him is going to have a huge impact on him and his friends and his family.
Yeah.
And we don't know if they were meeting regularly as a group, like I make jokes about his home group and Peter wondering what kind of refreshments they had. But after he saw the sheet, figured, well, if they have shrimp, I'm going to try some. But Cornelius knows that something big is going to happen. And I would think by this time, Peter's probably thinking something big is going to happen because of the vision, the guys at the door, then Cornelius telling him an angel told us to send for you. So, I mean, the stage is set where we know that something important is going to happen. Yes, why don't you go from there?
34. "Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, 'In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites, as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened over all of Judea beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all people, but to us, and the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name.
Ooh, let's pause there before the next verse. Wow. So Peter opens his mouth and starts to talk finally. Everybody's waiting for this. Mm-hmm. So he proclaims the gospel truth to this group of Gentiles.
Yeah.
Jesus had told them before, don't go to Samaria. Don't go in the Gentile lands. You stay here first.
Mm-hmm.
And then even with the Great Commission, don't leave the city until the Spirit comes.
Yeah.
Till you're clothed with power. So now he's preaching to a group of Gentiles, says God shows no partiality. So already Peter senses the division's broken down.
Yeah, the dividing wall.
Yeah, the dividing wall. And the gospel is going to include not just this group of Gentiles, but even us living in our time as Gentiles. And he tells them that Jesus came to Israel. The word was proclaimed that he died, that he rose. We're witnesses to this, to the point where we ate and drank with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had hung out with him before, and we even hung out with him after he was risen. And this was the sign that he was Messiah. And not only that, but to him, all the prophets bear witness.
Yeah.
So all of this that I'm just telling you in kind of a thumbnail sketch, all of this was foretold by the prophets. And we used to hear those readings every week at the synagogue, and we thought, oh, that's nice. Someday Messiah is going to come, and oh, yeah, that'll be nice. But we actually experienced this. And now I am here knowing that God shows no partiality and that you Gentiles are to hear this word too. And in that verse 43, whoever believes in him receives forgiveness for their sins through his name, capital H, capital N. And that's what I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
So this was the message that Cornelius and his family and his friends had to hear. This is why the angel wanted Peter to be sent for, because even though Cornelius and his family were worshiping the true God and they were charitable and they were nice and they gave alms to the poor and maybe they followed some of the Jewish traditions, but now they had to hear the message of salvation. They had to hear the completeness of salvation. And they had to know, and the reference to the prophets is good, but they had to know what the whole Tanakh, the whole Old Testament, the whole Hebrew scripture was about. And it was about this sacrifice of the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yeah. And that sacrifice that you just proclaimed of the Messiah is the establishment of the new and eternal covenant.
Amen.
That is many times glossed over or lost in our churches today.
Yes.
You know, the new and eternal covenant that Jesus established is through his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
And in that covenant, there's forgiveness of sins. In that covenant, there's those who God has chosen. Those who did not know me will know me. Those who did not seek me will find me. And so when we, you know, when we use the term Jew and Gentile or Christians, you know, some people see the world as, I think some people see the world, they can see it as Jews and Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Some people see the world as believers and unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people see the world differently than that even.
Mm-hmm.
But in spiritual terms, there's those who believe and there's who don't believe. And there's those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, each one of us, the gift that God wants to give us is right there before us.
Mm.
We just have to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not basically us choosing God, but God chose us.
Yes.
It's not, I'm going to choose God. No, God chose me.
Yeah.
And that's the mystery of all this.
Yeah.
You can't, dictate who you're going to minister to, who you're going to see on the street that day.
That's right. Exactly.
It's all by God's design.
That's right.
And so it really puts into perspective here that, did Peter have any inclination to go and preach to Cornelius' house on his own?
Mm.
No.
Mm.
He was, God told Cornelius that first.
He would have never thought about going there.
No, exactly. So what God has established here through his son, Jesus Christ, is the new and eternal covenant that he has made all things clean.
Amen.
He's restored all of creation back to himself. And in that covenant, we receive the mercy and grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he took the punishment. He took he was condemned in our place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is what Peter explains to them.
Yeah.
Is I see that God shows no partiality.
Exactly.
And so like what you're saying, I always think about when you say yes to him, when you say, Hineni, here I am,
mm-hmm.
what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
You don't know exactly where you're going to end up.
No, you don't.
You might end up in Nicaragua. You might end up in someplace in Mongolia. You might end up in a prison somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You may end up in a really cool city where you're the only believer.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks you're crazy. I mean, you don't know where you're going to end up.
Right.
But one thing is for sure, if you're doing what his plan is for you, then everything's going to mesh together.
Yeah.
Because this is where you're supposed to be. Exactly. Peter would have never thought, hey, let's go find a Roman centurion's house and tell them about Jesus.
Yeah, he wouldn't have done that, no.
Yeah. So let's read about what happens next, starting in 44.
44. So while Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?"
Mm-hmm.
He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They invited him to stay for a few days.
Wow. So Peter's doing the salvation message while he's still talking. The Holy Spirit falls on the whole house.
Yeah.
And these Gentiles, these Romans, start praying in tongues, praising God. You can see them kind of like arms up, dancing around the room. And all of a sudden, Cornelius has a charismatic prayer group, whereas before that, he had kind of just a regular prayer group. But now it's a charismatic home group. And you kind of see that they're extolling God. They're praising.
Yeah, they're glorifying God, the mighty works of God.
Yes, as happens when the Holy Spirit falls on people. Now, these are the uncircumcised believers that are dancing around and being that have just been Spirit-filled. They're not people in the covenant, but now they're people in the new covenant.
Right.
Along with these circumcised believers who basically were stunned. The circumcised believers.
Yeah.
They say the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on these Gentiles.
Yeah. And Peter rightly responds.
Yes.
Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?
Yes. Yes.
In the same portion, same measure, in the same fullness.
Yes.
In the same fullness, they've received it.
And the same things happened to them that happened to us when the Spirit fell on us.
I mean, what does the Holy Spirit come to do? He comes to lead us in all truth and remind us of all that Jesus taught us.
Mm-hmm.
When the Holy Spirit falls, he always testifies to the Lord, to Jesus.
Yes.
So you're gonna speak and act of the mighty acts of God. You're gonna proclaim the mighty acts of God that God has done.
Yes.
You're not gonna speak about yourself.
Yeah.
You're gonna tell some people, hey, I got the Holy Spirit. Look how awesome I am. Well, anyway, a person that's with the Holy Spirit would go, false prophet. Next, get out of here. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. But as you said, the circumcised believers, those who were in the covenant, you know, established through Abraham, see this.
Yes.
They're astounded.
Yes.
Like, whoa, we didn't expect to see this today.
Right.
So they witnessed this firsthand, and Peter rightly says that. Let's baptize them in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And so, you know, this Holy Spirit that they received, this is when, you know, we're talking about receiving, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should be receiving the Holy Spirit at the same time.
Yes.
There's not a separation between Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, in the life of the church, some churches have separated some of this. You know, there's baptism, there's, you know, believing, you know, there's an altar call, and then there's, well, maybe we'll get around to the Holy Spirit stuff. No, that's man.
No.
The Holy Spirit, what God has prescribed, it's one.
Yes.
Because he's not divided.
That's right. Amen. Perfect. Great explanation. Like Paul says, you become a follower of Jesus, you become a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells in you.
Yeah.
The Spirit comes into our spirit to tell us things, to teach us how to pray, shows us that we're adopted children.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a spirit of bondage, but a spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit tells us to cry out, Abba, Father. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all, God is Trinitarian, and salvation works in a Trinitarian way.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, let's face it, Peter's had quite an experience here, starting with the vision of the unclean, Gentiles at the door, walking with Gentiles and Jewish believers to Cornelius's house, a Roman centurion falling down at his feet and paying him homage.
Yeah.
I mean, to a Galilean fisherman.
Yeah. And I mean, think of that.
This guy was a Roman military officer.
Yeah. I mean, think of that for a second. A Roman officer is falling at the feet of a Galilean fisherman.
Yes.
Unheard of.
Right. When this, you know, a centurion would have had the power to take somebody and say, arrest us, throw this guy in the jail, and he had some kind of kangaroo trial and kill him.
Yeah.
But he falls down at Peter's feet. And Peter, of course, being a Jewish man, says, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just like in the Revelation where John sees an angel and he falls down at his feet. The angel picks him up and says, don't do that. I'm a creature just like you are.
Yeah.
You know, creatures aren't supposed to worship each other.
Right.
So he picks him up. And so he proclaims the gospel to this group and the Holy Spirit falls. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. These aren't separate things that happen.
Right.
It's not like, well, we'll get some Jesus and then later, so we'll get some Holy Spirit. And
yeah.
These are not separate things. And as Peter realizes now, and we don't know what Cornelius and his family and friends realize, but I mean, they got filled with the Spirit and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and water baptism all at the same time.
All at the same time.
And, which is pretty cool. And they're so ecstatic at this point. You know, we use the word ecstatic for being really happy because they were probably in an ecstasy at this point because so much exciting, being filled with the Spirit is an exciting thing at sometimes like this where you're praising and tongues and singing and dancing and so forth. But they know now that things are not the same as they used to be. I mean, when Cornelius and his family and his friends, and we don't know if anybody from his military unit was there with him.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what happens to Cornelius after this. Does he lose his job as a centurion? You know, I don't know.
He's not mentioned.
It doesn't say.
Yeah.
But when these people left Rome to come to the land, they were worshiping the Roman gods. You know, they were saying a prayer to Jupiter that they'd have a nice trip. And, you know, they were praying to Mars because he was the god of war and they were military people. And now all of a sudden, not only do they realize that the God of Israel is the true God and their pagan gods are irrelevant, but now they get the message of Jesus preached to them.
Yeah.
They get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then they're baptized with water baptism to say, you're now part of the new covenant. You're now part of our body. You're now part of the body of Christ, the body of Messiah.
Yeah.
And all this has happened in a relatively short amount of time to these people.
Mm-hmm.
They never went to catechism or Sunday school classes, and you know they didn't go to any kind of training program. Peter comes, preaches the gospel. They're filled with the Spirit and they're baptized.
Yeah.
Woo.
It's astounding. It's just awesome. And so, as you said, we don't know what happened to Cornelius after this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's nothing really else recorded in Scripture, but their lives were changed forever.
Forever.
Because now they are a member of the household of God.
Yes.
They're an adopted son and daughter. They're, you know, all of his family members, they're adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God, Adonai, whose son Jesus Christ came to save them and redeem them from their sins.
Amen.
So this power of the Holy Spirit that falls upon them, you know, in the early church, and this is the early church that we're looking at, the very first,
very early church,
very first nucleus of the early church,
yeah,
where God's people, God's chosen people, those whom he's choosing now, both Jews and Gentiles, they're brought together as one.
Yeah.
It says they invited him to stay for a few days. So they join with them for a few days in their household.
Yes. They wanted to hear more what Peter had to say.
Yeah.
And more what these other circumcised believers had to say.
Yeah. Unfortunately, more of it's not recorded, but.
Yes. You notice too that Peter, as he's experiencing this and seeing this baptism in the Spirit that takes place and then does the water baptism for them, he doesn't say to them, well, now that you're believers in Jesus and you've been baptized in the Spirit and you've had the water baptism too, there's a few other things you got to do. First of all, you guys are going to need to be circumcised. I mean, let's start with that. And secondly, you know, here's the da-da-da-da-da, and here's all these other... That's never mentioned.
He didn't say any of that. No.
He says, all of a sudden, wow, they got the Spirit just like we did.
Yeah.
This is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, for anybody who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as it's described here in Acts chapter 10, and in the Acts of the Apostles in the first and second chapters at Pentecost, it's an unforgettable experience.
Oh, yeah.
And what the devil wants to do is, you know, when Jesus in John chapter 10 said, you know, the enemy, you know, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, that's what Satan wants to do when you receive the power of God's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to deceive you that nothing happened.
Yeah.
He wants to steal it from you because
sure.
He knows you're now a threat to him.
Yeah.
And he wants to destroy it and squelch it so you'd never use it.
Yeah. And he wants to take away your joy.
He wants to rob you of your joy.
Yeah.
Eternally.
Eternally. Yeah.
Eternally. Not just for a little while. Eternally.
Yeah.
And so, it is essential, you know, for believers to have a place to go and pray together, to worship together.
Yes.
And to fellowship together.
Yes.
Where, you know, sadly, some people go, well, that's not my type of spirituality.
Yeah.
Well,
I can just be at home and say that. I can just be home and pray.
I don't need to go to a prayer group. I don't need to sit at a prayer group and do all this stuff. Well, the reality is you do need to do that because you're not really living a fulfilled Christian life without, if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, you are not living a fulfilled Christian life.
Amen.
You know, you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit just as Peter did, just as the early disciples did.
Yeah.
And it's so important, I think, in our church today. Whatever denomination you are, you know, it's funny, there, you know, a lot of denominations fight over who has the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, before
those people over there can't possibly have it.
I mean, if you look at what happened here, the Jewish people are going,
yes.
Whoa, wait a minute. What's happening? The Holy Spirit's falling on them.
Oh, yeah.
Now today,
yeah,
the church is going, no, I got the Holy Spirit. No, we have the Holy Spirit. No, you don't have all the right stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's,
I think too, I know the music's on. But I think, too, that I love this last thing about they wanted Peter to stay there for a few days because, you know, when you become a new believer, you want to talk to other believers who can teach you things.
Exactly.
I still feel that way after 22 or 23 years.
Yeah.
Whew.
Exactly.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that The Holy Spirit would fall upon you afresh this day, just as it did on the disciples at Pentecost, and just as he fell upon the household of Cornelius. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.